नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So in relation to the most auspicious divine appearance of the Supreme Goddess of Fortune, Sri Rukmini Devi, we've selected one verse from the 10th canto. This is chapter 60. Talks between Rukmini and Krishna. And text should be 9 on the board. Tam Rupinim Shriyam Ananya Gatim Nariksha Ya Lilaya Drita Tanur Anuruparupa Pritaha Smayan Alaka Kundala Nishka Kanta Paktrolasat Smita Studham Harir Ababhashe Brahma Samhita Mita. Tam Rupinim Shriyam Ananya Gatim Niriksha Ya Lilaya Drita Tanur Anurupa Rupa Pritak Smayana Laka Kundala Nishka Kanta Paktrola Satsmita Sudhang Harir Ababhashe Tang Rupinim Shriyam Ananya Gatim Niriksha Ya Lilaya Drita Tanur Anurupa Rupa Pritak Smayana Laka Kundala Nishka Kanta Vaktrola Satsmita Siddhang Harir Ababhashe Tang Rupinim Shriyam Ananya Gatim Niriksha Ya Lilaya Drita Tanur Anurupa Rupa Pritak Smayana Laka Kundala Nishka Kanta Vaktrola Satsmita Siddhang Hari Ababhashe Please chant. Tatanur Anurupa Rupa Pritak Smayana Laka Kundala Nishakanta Aktrola Satsmita Siddhang Hari Ababhashe Tam Rupinim Shri Amananya Gatim Niriksha Ya Lilaya Drita Tanur Anurupa Rupa Pritak Smayana Laka Kundala Nishka Kanta Vaktrola Satsmita Siddhang Hari Ababhashe Vaishnavis? Tam rupinim shri amananya gatim niriksha. Vaktro la satsmi satuda hai avanashe. Tam rupinim shri amananya gatim niriksha. Yali laya drita tanur anurupa rupa. Pritaksmaya lakakundala nishkakanta. Aktrola satsmitarsana. Kamrupinim shiyamananya. Yali laya jita tanor anarupa rupa. Sinitaks mayan alaka kundala nishka kanta. Vaktrola shansmita siddha. Okay, so the synonyms. Just for the record, this portion of the Srimad Bhagavatam, meaning the actual individual books, the translation was done by Srila Prabhupada's disciples, headed by Rinanda Maharaj and Gopi Purananda Prabhu. But we are confident that their word-for-word translation was accurate, so we're going to read the synonyms. And the purport was also done by them, but it's basically they're just quoting Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. So, Tam... Her. Rupinim. Appearing in person. Shriyam. The goddess of fortune. Ananya. Having no other. Gatim. Goal. Niriksha. Seeing. Ya. Shihu. Lilaya. As his pastime. Drita, of him who assumes. Tanoho, bodies. Anurupa, corresponding. Rupa, whose forms. Pritaha, pleased. Smayan, smiling. Alaka, with locks of hair. Kundala, earrings. Nishka, neck ornament. Kanta, on her throat. Vaktra, face. Ulasat, bright and happy. Smita, smile. Sudham, nectar. Harihi, Lord Krishna. Amabhashe, spoke. So, translation by Prabhupada's disciples. As he contemplated her, the goddess of fortune herself, who desires only him, Lord Krishna smiled. The Lord assumes various forms to enact his pastimes, and he was pleased that the form the goddess of fortune had assumed was just suitable for her to serve as his consort. Her charming face was adorned with curling hair, earrings, a locket on her neck, and the nectar of her bright, happy smile. The Lord then spoke to her as follows. Please repeat. As he contemplated her, the goddess of fortune herself, who desires only him, Lord Krishna smiled. The Lord assumes various forms to enact his pastimes. And he was pleased that the form the goddess of fortune had assumed was just suitable for her to serve as his consort. Her charming face was adorned with curling hair, earrings, a locket on her neck, and the nectar of her bright, happy smile. The Lord then spoke to her as follows. So there's a brief purport, again, which is just quoting commentary of Srila, of the predecessor Acharyas. So first of all, there's Srila Sridhar Swami has quoted an interesting verse spoken by Sri Parashara in the Vishnu Purana. Devatve devadeheyam manushyatve cha manushi Vishnur dehanarupam vai karote shatmanastanum. Which means, when the Lord appears as a demigod, she, the goddess of fortune, takes the form of a demigoddess. And when he appears as a human being, she takes a human-like form. Thus, the body she assumes matches the one Lord Vishnu takes. Pretty clear, right? Then, a commentary from Vishnu Chakravarti. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti adds that as Lord Krishna is even more beautiful than the Lord of Vaikuntha, Lord Krishna's consort, Rukmini Devi, is even more attractive than the goddess of fortune in the Vaikuntha world. Sri Rukmini Devi ki jai. So, in the fourth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, text 6, right? Ajopi san avyayatma bhutana ishvaropi san prakritim samadhisthaya samavam atma mayaya. Krishna informs Arjuna that although he is unborn and although his transcendental form never deteriorates, which is very important for us to note. Krishna speaks very precise language in the Bhagavad Gita, if we listen clearly. Although I am unborn, we are also all unborn, and although my transcendental body never deteriorates, so we don't, at present, correct me if I'm wrong, if any of you have transcendental body, forgive me for insulting you, but generally speaking, we don't have transcendental bodies in this material appearance, and they definitely deteriorate, so immediately we can distinguish who is God and who is not. My transcendental form never deteriorates. And although I'm the Lord of all living entities, this is a position that we want to assume. We want to lord it over all living entities. From the smallest creature, if a silverfish or an ant dares to come into a room, we want, what are you doing here? You're not paying any rent. Get out of here. We want to immediately throw them out. And then want to speak of higher and higher forms. We want to lord it over. But if we carefully examine our existence, we're generally serving. Like every morning, like clockwork, up and down the block, we see people with the dogs. They're walking. Now, who's serving whom? Ostensibly, the human being is the master, but we can watch and see who's actually the master. The dog is the master. When he wants to stop, the human being stops. When he wants to run, the human being runs. When he poops, the human being picks it up. So, in every situation, we're trying to lord it over, but we wind up being servants. So Prabhupada would say, intelligently analyze and see where is the best place you can give your service to get the best return. You're going to serve anyway. Either the government or your husband, your wife, your children, your dog. You're going to be serving constantly. Analyze carefully and see where is the best place to put your service that you get the best return. And we see that on the transcendental platform, service continues. It's not that, okay, I'm a human being, I'm a conditioned soul, I have to serve somebody, but when I'm liberated, I'm going to be the boss. No. When you're liberated, the service continues. And we see Rukmini Devi, Krishna's eternal consort, her only business, as stated in the verse, is just to concentrate on him. She wants to serve him for his pleasure. So this morning, Savasprabhu read from the 53rd chapter, which is Krishna kidnapping Rukmini, about Rukmini's beauty. At that time, she appeared to be 13 or 14 years old. Now, I say appeared because we know just as Krishna is unborn and his transcendent body never deteriorates, similarly his consort, obviously, she's also unborn and her body never deteriorates. But when they appear for pastimes, they appear to be born at a certain point in time and their bodies appear to transform. But lo and behold, it reaches a certain age and it doesn't transform beyond that. We try to do that with all kinds of cosmetics and exercise and whatnot. We want to remain youthful looking in this body, but it doesn't work. It doesn't happen. In spite of all of our efforts, the body deteriorates. But Rukmini Devi, as we see, didn't. And as a youth, 13, 14, she was so beautiful, as Savas read that particular description of her beauty. All the princes and kings present, they were like falling off their horses and elephants and lust over her. She was so beautiful. But she didn't care. She simply fixed on Krishna. So I'm going to read a bit from this chapter, where this verse came from, the 60th chapter. We know, those of us who read Krishna book, that Krishna decided to shake things up. You know, beautiful household arrangement, everything is going on nicely. But one day he just decided to agitate Rukmini. Rukmini is so laid back. Nothing bothers her. She's simply concentrated on, and pleased to serve Krishna. But he decided to shake her up one day. So he devised a plan to speak to Rukmini in such a way that she would become agitated. And he did that. He said, you know, we've been married for some time, but I think you made a bad choice. I really think you made a bad choice. I'm not really the best husband that you can have. And he gave a long list of reasons why he wasn't. He was not really, you know, from the royal family, is born as a coward boy, and really not dependable, and anybody that takes shelter of him, they wind up lamenting. And he was giving so many reasons why she shouldn't have taken shelter of him. So he spoke so harshly that Rukmini lost her composure and fainted. Now this is, again, pastime. Try to understand. We try to imitate Krishna in every respect in this world, up to it and including this business of romantic involvement. And we dream up all these in our minds how things are going to be wonderful, and it never works out that way. But the absolute truth, Krishna, when he appears in this world and he enacts his pastimes of romance, they're just, you cannot come up with these kind of situations. Rukmini's a princess and her father's marrying her off to some horrible Shishupal, and she doesn't want to, and she sends a brahmana with a message. And then on the day of the marriage, Krishna still hasn't come to get her. She's slowly walking to the temple of Durga to pay obeisances and slowly coming back and all the time glancing around, where's Krishna? Where is Krishna? I know, I can't give myself to the Shishupal. No way, I'd rather die. And then she glances, she sees that the brahmana has come back. So she realizes that maybe Krishna's here. And sure enough, Krishna just comes sauntering in on his chariot amongst all the other inimical warriors, and he just picks her up on the chariot. You can't dream of this kind of story. You can't. We try to imitate that kind of stuff, you know, but it never works out. Even if you pull it off, even if you pull off some eloping or kidnapping or something like that, you know, by day two, it's already, you know, things start to fall apart. You know, she realizes that this guy is not really the, you know, everything that he looks to be, and he's starting to realize that, you know, the beauty comes off at night, and, you know, it doesn't work out. But that's not the case with Krishna and his consorts. When they enact their pastimes on this world, we glorify them thousands of years later because they're perfect. They're perfect. That whole story of Rukmini and Dwarkadish is perfect. And we're so fortunate to be here with an opportunity to serve them. And we should realize that this is Rukmini and Dwarkadish, even if we haven't realized, except theoretically. And we're very, very fortunate that by the mercy of their pure devotee Srila Prabhupada, we have an opportunity not only to hear about their pastimes from 5,000 years ago, but to see them on a daily basis and to serve them. So, just to continue that description, or to add to that description from the chapter 53, I'm going to read a few paragraphs here and then a little bit of Rukmini's reply to Krishna. So, Rukmini was very eager to get the opportunity to serve her husband, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in order to please Krishna, we have to please Rukmini. In order to please Rukmini, we have to please Rukmini's servants. And what do Rukmini's servants want from us? They just want to see us engage in service. That's all. Prabhupada didn't come here and place any heavy demands on us. He just said, serve. If you see something that needs to be done, do it. Especially if the authority asks you to do something, do it. Yesterday, Sura and I were having a little conversation about that pastime in Mayapur when the Sankirtan devotees asked Srila Prabhupada what would please him. And they were all sitting back thinking, Prabhupada is going to say, just do more books and more books. But Prabhupada said, if you please your authorities, that will please me. In other words, if you please your GBC and your Tapa president, that will please me. They were shocked. They were aghast. They were falling off their chairs. They didn't want to hear that. To please Prabhupada, I have to please the temple president. The GBC, no way. I just want to hear that I should just go out and do more and more. No. So these lines of authority continue even all the way back into the spiritual world. That was mentioned in yesterday's class. Lines of authority are always there. And we remain in this world particularly because we do not want to surrender to authority. Ultimately, we don't want to surrender to Krishna's authority. So we have to examine ourselves. We have to examine ourselves. If we actually think that Krishna is the supreme controller, now if there's an established line of authority and the authority gives us or requests that we do something, that is in line that we can see with the teachings of the predecessor acharyas, like go out and distribute books or clean the temple or whatever. Why should we refuse? But our rascal minds always come up with some reason why we shouldn't do that, why we should do something else. So we should note, Rukmini was very eager to get the opportunity to serve her husband, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. She therefore wanted to serve the Lord personally and took the handle of the chamara from the hand of a maidservant and began to move the fan. The handle of the chamara was made of gold and bedecked with valuable jewels. And it became more beautiful when taken by Rukmini because all of her fingers were beautifully set with jeweled rings. Her legs were decorated with jeweled ankle bells, which rang very softly between the pleats of her sari. So, where do we get this desire to ornament ourselves? It is there because it's there in the Absolute. We like to put on ornaments and nice dress because Krishna and his consorts, they like to do the same thing. It's natural, in other words. But we should understand that the body that we're decorating is not natural. It's here for some time and then it's gone. So we shouldn't get too hung up in decorating this body. Prabhupada said, if we get into the mode of decorating the deities nicely, then it's just like looking into a mirror. When you decorate your body nicely, you look in a mirror, then you see nice reflection. So similarly, when we dress the deities nicely, ornament them nicely, then we feel pleased. We should feel pleased. Rukmini's raised breasts were smeared with kumkum and saffron, thus her beauty was enhanced by the reflection of the reddish color emanating from her covered breasts. Her high hips were decorated with a jeweled lace girdle, and a locket of great effulgence hung on her neck. Above all, because she was engaged in the service of Lord Krishna, although at that time she was old enough to have grown-up sons, her beautiful body was beyond compare in the three worlds. So, did not deteriorate. Just as described this morning, when she was 13, 14 years old, her body remained exactly the same. We wish we could pull that off. But in our original form, we are eternally beautiful. Everything and everyone in the spiritual world is beautiful. It's not that, you know, there's a beautiful guy around the corner and a beautiful tree around that park. No, everything there is beautiful. Every tree, every cloud, every drop of water, everything there is beautiful eternally. And that should be an impetus for us to go back. When we take account of her beautiful face, it appears that the curling hair on her head, the beautiful earrings on her ears, her smiling mouth, and her necklace of gold all combined to shower rains of nectar. And thus, it was definitely proved that Rukmini was none other than the original goddess of fortune, who's always engaged in the service of the lotus feet of Narayana. So, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, chapter 4, there's this verse, Devi Krishnamayi Prokta Radhika Paradevata Sarva Lakshmi Mayi Sarva Kanti San Mohini Para. So, all of the goddesses of fortune are all expanded ultimately from Radharani. Krishna expands into Radharani for pastime, pleasure pastimes. And then he expands in all these male forms, and she expands in all the female forms to correspond to those male forms. So all the goddesses of fortune in Vaikuntha, and all the queens in Dwarka, they're all ultimately expansions of Radharani. So, now I'm going to read a bit of Rukmini's reply to Krishna, because it's very pertinent to us as well. Let me just find the spot. Let's see. Yes. So, Krishna made so many points, so many reasons why he was no good for Rukmini. And she went back point for point and turned it around and used it as a way of glorifying him. So I'm just going to read a couple. This is Rukmini speaking. My dear Lord, you have advised me that I can still select another from the princely order and divorce myself from your companionship. But, my dear Lord, it is perfectly well known to me that you are the reservoir of all good qualities. Great saintly persons like Narada Muni are always engaged simply in glorifying your transcendental characteristics. Someone who simply takes shelter of such a saintly person
immediately becomes freed from all material contamination. And when he comes in direct contact with your service, the goddess of fortune agrees to bestow all her blessings. And we have example of that, like Sudama Brahmana, very, very poor Krishna's friend from childhood, school days, went to Dwarka to see Krishna, brought just a little offering of chipped rice. He was so ashamed of that's all he had and could afford to bring. And Krishna took one bit of it, forcibly, because Sudama really didn't want to give it. And he was about to take another one, and Rukmini stopped him. So people may ask, why did she stop Krishna from accepting offering from his pure devotee? Why not allow him to take more? Because just by taking that one little chip of rice, the goddess of fortune became obliged to give all fortune to Sudama Brahmana, which she did. We see, he was overwhelmed by what he got. Imagine if Krishna had eaten the whole thing, he would be a million times more overwhelmed. He was totally overwhelmed when he went back home. His entire village had been transformed into like a Vaikuntha planet. His home, old broken down house was gone, and instead there was a palace with so many jewels and everything. So just from serving Krishna in that way, just one little bit, the goddess of fortune becomes obliged, as is stated here. When someone comes in direct contact with your service, the goddess of fortune agrees to bestow all her blessings. Now we should not use that as motivation. Okay, all right. Let me see now. If I clean the temple and I distribute a few books, Rukmini was going to have to give me like more than the Powerball winner. I'm going to be so rich. No, that's not the motivation of the devotee. We simply want, what do we want when we serve Krishna? What should we want? More service. Yeah, more service. We're not engaged in cosmic commercialism. I've never forgotten that phrase. The first person I heard use that was Guru Prasad Maharaj in a class he was giving. That when you serve Krishna in this mood of, okay, I'll do something and then you give me, that is cosmic commercialism. We're not merchants. That's not the mood here. The mood is, give me more service, please. I know that I'm just so eternally blessed by having even a small amount of service, so please give me more. Continuing Rukmini's prayer. She says, under the circumstances, what woman who has once heard of your glories from authoritative sources and has somehow or other relished the nectarian fragrance of your lotus feet will be foolish enough to agree to marry someone of this mature world who is always afraid of death, disease, old age, and rebirth? I have therefore accepted your lotus feet, not without consideration, but after mature and deliberate decision. My dear Lord, you are the master of the three worlds. You can fulfill all the desires of all your devotees in this world and the next, because you are the supreme soul of everyone. I have therefore selected you as my husband, considering you to be the only fit personality. You may throw me in any species of life according to the reactions of my fruitive activities, and I haven't the least concern for this. My only ambition is that I may always remain fast to your lotus feet, for you can deliver your devotees from illusory material existence and are always prepared to distribute yourself to your devotees. So Rukmini is obviously teaching us. She is eternally attached to the Lord. There is not a moment when she's separated from Krishna. But we should take these points to heart. That don't be concerned for anything, don't be ambitious for anything in this material world. Simply remain attached to the service of the Lord that we've been so fortunately given. And then she goes on to describe how unfortunate is a woman who accepts a man of this material world, who's thinking himself to be the Lord of everything he surveys, but is simply a skin bag full of stool and urine and pus and blood and bones and teeth and all these horrible things. And what woman in her right mind wants to remain attached to such a horrible manifestation? Instead, all the women, and all the men also, should simply beg for, plead for, cry out for eternal service to Krishna. Shri Rukmini Devi Ki Jai. Any discussion, comments? Anybody want to add anything? Naikatma Prabhu, somebody bring the wireless mic, please. It's in the drawer. No, because the internet is there. Everybody wants to hear what you're saying.
Thank you very much, Prabhu, for a wonderful presentation.
Hare Krishna.
I was just a comment. I was appreciating your first comment, your beginning comment about how, we fantasize in this world and we make all sorts of movies and write millions of books, but you cannot make a more perfect story than Krishna or Dwarkadish meeting Rukmini and the pastimes of Rukmini Dwarkadish. It's such a perfect arrangement how Krishna comes in and snatches her away amongst all these other characters. It's such a beautiful, beautiful scene. You cannot make something like that up. It's just perfect.
Yeah, it's wonderful. The ensuing battle, hair-raising battle and people getting killed over this, and then he takes her away and then Rukmini comes and he gives him the first punk haircut and then they go on until they go to Dwarka and they have children and grandchildren. It's a beautiful, wonderful story. And no matter how many times I've read that story, you just want to read it again and again. Whereas, what we do in this world, we try to emulate, it just doesn't work. We want love. We're starved for love. Because love, loving exchanges, loving relationships, that's our birthright. That's what goes on in the spiritual world at every moment. Everybody loves everybody and everybody loves Krishna. And so we're starved for that. We're trying to get that. And we sing about it. And just think of the Beatles. They sang that song. All they sang in the one song, and they made so many millions of dollars from that one song, "All You Need Is Love." They just keep repeating that. All you need is love. Love is all you need. They just keep repeating that. We're so starved for love, we pay people to chant like that. Yes, yes, love is all I need. They became millionaires from that one song. Forget all the rest of their repertoire. Just that one song, "All You Need Is Love." Because that's what we want. We want love. We're starved for love. We're looking for love all the time. But we never find it in this material world. I've told the story a couple times. When I was in high school in New York, I got a job in a bakery, pastry shop. They had a bakery in the back and they would sell the pastries up front. And the guy was into country music, which is probably the only genre that I don't really appreciate so much. And they had it tuned to this one station. And like clockwork every day, this song would come on about looking for love in all the wrong places, right? And then another song about, is anybody going to San Antonio or Phoenix, Arizona? Any place is all right as long as I can forget I ever known you. That's what it comes down to in this world. We think we want to be involved with this person. We chase after that person. We get involved with them and then it doesn't satisfy. Because the real person that we need to be involved with is Krishna. But the foolish, well, as long as you remain within the modes of nature, we remain ignorant. And, we get smashed down and again we get up and chase after the same thing. We get smashed down. So Prabhupada and the predecessor acharyas are giving us the clue how to be intelligent. Just serve Krishna and everything will be fine. Jai. Grantarachima Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sri Rukmini Devi ki jai. What is your